Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living. Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins, who's in her apron.
I've got my apron on.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. You know, I got this apron from Becky Tonkin, and she made it. Most aprons that you buy are, you know, by default like a size medium, but we may all know here I am a size extra medium. And so I just really like it because it covers everything. I've been making a lot of jam, and when you splatter that hot boiling sugar, you know, it can be the death.
Yep.
If you don't have enough layers of stuff on.
I have a couple of those too, and just ordered a couple more, and I like them because they're pinafore style, so they don't have the string around your neck.
Oh yeah, the crossback. You know, I have a galley kitchen, yay, so I'm always facing the wall, and then when you have like that yoke around your neck, man, I just feel like a slave, you know? Gosh.
Well, and how many pounds of cherries do you have to? You are a slave. What are you talking
about? I'm a slave. I was just whining to Marianne that I bought a 20-pound box of cherries, and I need to pit them and turn them into jam, but I am not looking forward to the pitting part. Pity me about the pitting.
Yeah. Yep. We were talking about various ways of pitting, but and there are a number of ways so that you can change the stress on your hand, but they're all tedious.
Yeah. Yeah, Marianne just told me, tell them. I didn't
know that wine method. Yeah, the wine bottle method, which if you have the little paper punch kind, like the pliers kind that you squeeze and it takes the pit out, which I think many of us have some sort of thing like that. But then your hand gets tired of squeezing that when you have tens of pounds
the
of
claw.
Chairs, the claw. So the alternative that I use just to give my hand a rest is the wine bottle method, or any bottle that has that narrow neck on it so that you can put a cherry on top of the open bottle and it won't fall in. And then you just poke it with a chopstick and the pit falls into the bottle and you knock the cherry. It's no faster, but it changes the position of your hand so you're not like squeezy, squeezy, squeezy.
Yeah, that's great, because seriously, I just feel like just a dead bird, the little claws in the air when I'm done. Holy cow.
But then cherry jam.
Yeah, I really, really like that a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else are you cooking these days?
You know, it's the 4th of July. Woohoo!
Yep.
So every year I make some flag pies.
I love the flag pies, and I can't even imagine how much trouble they are. Talk about those for a minute.
They're not a lot of trouble, but they're a pie that looks like a flag, and so they're showy. And when you make them for a fundraiser, they generally bring a lot of money. So I like to do that, you know. So they're a pie that is red fruit and blue fruit. So it can be blueberries or blackberries. And then usually I use strawberry rhubarb just because that has a real pretty red color. Raspberry has a pretty red color too, but it just doesn't make that great a pie. But anyway, so I, in the pie pan, I put bottom crust, and then I have frozen pie plates of fruit. And so the red stuff, I will cut a quarter of it. So 3/4 of a frozen strawberry rhubarb pie filling I drop down into the pie crust. And then I have the blue fruit frozen, and I take a quarter off of that, and I drop that in there. So then it's the colors of the flag. And then instead of doing lattice work, you just put stripes across the red part. And then I bake stars separately. Because
stripes of pie pastry, right?
Yeah. So
for the
just,
white.
Yeah, yeah, so it just looks like a flag.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the blue I leave naked, and then I bake little star cookies, and I put those on there. And so it is a pretty pie.
Yeah.
It's funny when charities have like pie auctions, if there's anything different, like my neighbor Georgia, her church had a pie auction recently, and I made a square pie. Ooh, so different. But it was the pie that brought the most because it was different. And so for that kind of thing, I try to make something different.
Yeah, yeah. What was in that square pie?
It was just blackberries, like blackberries off the road.
Hey, I'm telling you, wild blackberries, nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, and they are the little native, you know, they're also called dewberries. Those are going right now. And so if you're wanting to pick them, this is the week. Yay.
They're the best.
Yeah. What have you been making?
Well, you know, it's farmer's market season.
Yes.
And I'm with the North Coast Food Web, and we do the Thursday River People Farmer's Market in downtown Astoria. And so I go home with stuff, and that's what I've been cooking. So we just had a big vegetable stir fry the other night, and I finally did what I always threatened to do, which is make extra of the Chinese brown sauce so that I can put it in the fridge and use it for other things. I just fried up a bunch of fresh veg and then stirred this brown sauce. You know, that is soy sauce and ginger and garlic and all the stuff you expect it to be. Yeah, it was really good because, you know, it's the veg has been picked that day, and then you go home that night and cook it up, and it's just so fabulous.
I'm so happy it finally started, you know, because it was just like June was like, ah. And then finally the end of June, yay, the market.
I know. And it seems so late, but that's when things that's when our local producers actually have something to sell. Yeah. And so now it's just, you know, there's cauliflower and every kind of green you can imagine. And I got some beautiful, the little white salad turnips and broccolini and eggs and ground lamb and goat cheese. And I mean, that's, you know, there's dinner and many times over at a farmer's market right now.
The first time I go, I always get the Skamakaway creameries, the garlic dill. I don't know why, but that's like a tradition for me. Like the very first minute of the very first day, that's the first thing I buy. Yay! And it's my favorite flavor that they have. I got some kimchi too from
Island's End, I bet.
Yeah, Carolyn George. And so when I was driving it home, it started leaking, you know, and so I don't know a lot about fermentation, and so I thought, well, okay, I should just use this because I just don't know, and I talked to Carol later, and she says, no, sometimes when stuff warms up, it just starts, you know, fermenting more, and it needs more room, and there wasn't any room in the jar, but I'd seen a recipe for kimchi butter. So I make a decent amount of kimchi fried rice. Now, it is not by any means Korean. And you can all just prepare your face muscles for laughing. You got them ready? Got them ready? Okay, here's what I do. I take some, you know, when you're making fried rice, you want old rice. You don't want new rice because it'll all clump together. So I've got some cold used rice in the fridge, and I fry it up with, first I put a little bacon in the skillet. So there's a couple pieces of bacon, then the bacon fat and the bacon. I fry the rice in that, and then I put some kimchi in there and a little bit of butter. They're so authentic.
No, it sounds fabulous though.
But yeah, that's kimchi fried rice. And so I saw a recipe for kimchi butter, and what you do is you strain the kimchi pretty, you know, rigorously until it's it's not very wet at all. And then just one part butter, one part kimchi, you just grind it together in a blender, and it was really good.
I bet it was.
Yeah. So I had a bunch of roasted vegetables and then some pork loin and just made a sandwich. You know, it was all pretty much leftover stuff, but just made a sandwich with that. And it was really good. I was surprised because you'd think you'd make it with the juice, you know, that's where the flavor is. But it was really good.
That would be a little pat of that on a grilled steak or on a baked potato. Yeah. Yipes. That sounds delicious.
No.
I would never have, yeah, right? How about just a big spoonful?
No.
I have mine on a spoon. I would never have thought of that. That's
me
brilliant.
Yeah. Just, I don't even remember where I ran across it. And it was simple enough that I remembered it rather than, of course, remembering where I could go back to it. You know, I think it was Lucky Peach. You know that magazine that, who is it? I think David Chang puts out. Yeah.
Okay.
Woo-hoo.
Well, you know, it's also grilling season, and although we've been talking before about grilling, the Food Web does food for movies in the park through the Astoria Parks and Rec. So once a month during the summer, this summer they're all at McClure Park, which is fabulous, up on the corner of 8th and Harrison. Perfect place to watch a movie and look out over the river and, I don't know, appreciate everything about where you live.
Yeah.
And I just did grilled dogs last time, but I'm looking to do something a little, I think, more exciting on the next movie night because we're grilling and it's outdoors and there's everything beautiful available right now and need to do some grilled veg. And
I think that's a really good idea. I think I don't think people grill vegetables enough. I mean, I think grilled carrots are insanely delicious, and people just never do that. What I do is if the carrot is smallish to medium, I just leave it whole, and if it's medium to, you know, largish, I cut it in half, and if it's a big honking carrot, ruler of the carrot patch, I'll quarter it, and then just a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, and I grill it, and it's really good.
Yeah, they're fabulous. I think almost every vegetable responds positively to grilling.
Yeah.
And wouldn't they be good grilled and then served warm with a little kimchi butter?
Yes, yes. Oh, hey, can I talk about something not food related?
Yeah.
Whales?
Yeah, what about the whales?
They're in the river
again. I know.
Yeah. And it's a pretty remarkable thing. Last year, they were here following the anchovies just because food distribution, they feel, is changing in the oceans. They're humpback whales, which normally aren't even here. They just go from Alaska to Hawaii to Alaska to Hawaii. And I just wanted to mention it because I think it's a spectacular thing. So most of the time, they are in the natural channel of the river, which is over quite close to the Washington side. And so the past 8-9 days, they've been here every day. I went looking this morning, but it's low tide.
Yeah.
And I feel that they are hungry in the morning, so you're more likely to see them in the morning. And they like an incoming tide because my feeling is it's easier to come across the bar. But that's all just conjecture on my part. But anyway, if you go across the Megler Bridge and you can take a left and either pull out by the Heritage Marker or that one that's a little bit farther or by the church, because then you can see the bar and you can see the bridge and the big expanse of river. Or you can take a right at the end of the bridge and go to Dismal Niche. And I like to park, like, I go most of the way through Dismal Niche and over by that pet area right before you leave, just because you can see Tongue Point, you can see the bridge, and you can see that big expanse of water out from Tongue Point. And then just sit and watch for half an hour. And if you see a spout, you know, just keep your eye on that spot. And the other day, Thursday, there were 5 of them jumping when I was at Dismal Niche, just looking towards the column. And they were just jumping, like, all the way out of the water. Water, feeding all the way out of the water, and then all of a sudden they had like the world's biggest breath holding party. And they were gone.
They probably have pretty sizable lungs.
Yes,
they can hold their breath for quite a while.
They need an apron from Becky Tonkin.
They do. And that is about food. They're eating. I mean,
what a tie-in.
Yeah, right.
I just wanted to mention it because it's so extraordinary. And if you have children especially, and, you know, you can, I don't know if anybody's talking about it on Facebook that they're there, just go see. It's pretty remarkable.
Yep, it's pretty remarkable is right, and rare enough that it might be our one opportunity, although we had whales last year.
Yeah.
But you never know. Things are changing all the time.
Yeah.
So it would be a shame to miss it. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile device wherever you go using the TuneIn app. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with Linda Perkins. We're talking about just what we're cooking these days.
I made some pretty epic blueberry bread.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So
the blueberries have been crazy good.
Yeah. So delicious too.
Yeah.
I bought a cookbook. Like I need an excuse to buy a cookbook, but this one is called Huckleberry. So maybe
do you have like a special storage unit for your cookbooks? Oh my gosh.
The poor husband, honey, can you build me another bookshelf? this one, there's a cookbook, maybe it came out 2-3 years ago, called Huckleberry, and it is a very good cookbook. But on the cover, the picture of this blueberry bread is why I bought it. And then when I looked at the recipe, it seemed complex, like, and in my mind, needlessly complex. So I just decided that rather than do all that crap it said, I was just going to make something like it this past week. So what it looks like is, you know how you can make a cinnamon swirl bread?
Yes.
You know, so, but it's blueberries swirled in there and it's goopy in the swirl and it's really pretty. So she has all this stuff she does. I don't even know why. Take fresh blueberries, not frozen, freeze them in a single layer on a plate for a certain amount of time, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so all I did was I just made brioche and I made I make mine from the joy of cooking. She doesn't even call it brioche. She calls it yeasted coffee cake, or it's whatever's with the sticky buns, but it's brioche. But just some brioche recipe that has two and a half cups of flour, that would be the right size. So just whatever brioche you want to do. And then you roll it in a rectangle, maybe 12 by 16. And you know how when you're rolling up sticky buns or anything like that, cinnamon buns, you roll them from the long side like
right.
that. But this, what you do is you roll it from the short side. So,
oh, interesting.
Yes. So you take a cup and a half of fresh blueberries. Fresh blueberries work just fine, lady who wrote the cookbook. So you take a cup and a half of fresh blueberries and 2 tablespoons of sugar and sprinkle it just on half of it, like short side up, you know. And then you just roll it up, and you don't have to do it super tight or anything, but blueberries are going to pop out the sides, and then you've, you know, just tuck them back in, and then you've got a log. And then what you do is you take the log and then you turn it so that the open blueberry leaking end is towards you. And then you sprinkle another 2 tablespoons of sugar on it. And then from there, you pat it down so it's about 6 inches wide.
Okay.
And then you roll it tightly. And so you don't try to squish the blueberries or anything, but you roll it tightly. And so
this roll that's only like 6 inches long.
No, so sorry. So you've rolled it up from the thing that is from the side that is 12 inches.
Uh-huh.
And then you've rolled it so that it's a log, but it's a log that's 12 inches long.
I get it.
And then
I get it.
So you've got the round log, and then you flatten it
okay.
so that it's 6 inches wide. So when it starts out, it's about 3-4 inches wide, and then you flatten it so it's about 6 inches wide. And then from the open end, the leaky blueberry end, then you sprinkle 2 tablespoons of sugar on it, and then you roll it up tightly. So you're kind of squeezing it as you go, but not like, you know, like proven that you can squeeze better than anybody on earth, but just not squishing the blueberries, but just squeezing so that it's rolled tight. And then it gets a little bit longer because you're rolling up from 6 inches.
Yeah.
And so then you've got this, you know, sausage looking thing kind of, and you just put it in your buttered regular, you know, big loaf sized bread pan is the word I couldn't remember. Bread pan, and then let it double and bake it. And it was really good. Now, it took a while to bake. I think I baked it like a convection oven. I think it was at 325, so 350 if you don't have convection. And it took about 45 minutes. You know, I always test my breads with a thermometer. I have a digital thermometer because it was, oh, and I sprinkled a lot of sugar on the top of it. I used that pretty sparkle sugar
uh-huh.
that's kind of square little crystals. And I did an egg wash too to make the sparkly sugar stick. But when I thought it was done, it was brown enough, it was actually 98 degrees in the middle. So
oh
thank
my gosh.
God I have a digital thermometer. Yeah. So anyway, so then what I did is I rather than wrap it in foil, I just put a cookie sheet above it in the oven so that it wouldn't brown anymore.
Right.
That radiant heat wasn't
coming.
Oh,
that's so easier.
Pounding down
than,
on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, because I have the convection, then the heat still gets around it. And so then I waited till it got to be about 200 in the middle. And it was so good. So when you cut into it, it just like looks like gooey swirl around of blueberries. And it was really, really good. I made a lot of baked goods this week because a friend who took care of my dog while my husband had his knee replaced so that we wouldn't have to have a dog gate so he could get around on his walker. She our trade was she had family here this week, and I would just bake for them so they would have morning pastries.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice trade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very lucky for me. But yeah, the blueberry bread was the thing of everything that they liked the best. It's the first time I'd made it, but I am going to make it again.
Yeah, I did a pie with blueberries on top last week for the market.
Now, I don't know if this is something Marianne wants to hear, but if you need any new friends on Facebook, the person you should ask to be your friend is Marianne Myers. The reason is every week she posts what she's baking for the co-op. Oh, my gosh. It's such a wonderful thing. Oh, so she had this. Was it a custard pie or a lemon pie?
It was custard, but it's a lemon buttermilk saffron custard.
Oh.
But the berries.
Did you hear those four words?
Yeah,
Sam,
I know.
Again.
Lemon buttermilk custard. I know. That custard is so good that I could just bake a bowl of the custard and then I could just lock myself in the bedroom with a spoon and hold my calls for an hour. Seriously, that custard is so good. But all by itself, doesn't need pie crust, doesn't need blueberries, doesn't need anything. But the blueberries lately have been so beautiful, and they are like beefsteak blueberries.
Beefsteak.
Like you could slice them. They're so big and
the
beautiful.
The spawning blueberry.
And I didn't even bake them. I just waited till the pie came out of the oven and put them on top because they're so pretty that I didn't want to mess with them. I am just loving blueberries right now.
I saw the picture. Oh, so beautiful.
Well, that, you know, market season for me means in addition to lots of good fresh food from folks who grow it for me, so I don't have to. It also means pie season because of the fundraising that we, it's one of the fundraising things, you know, nonprofits have to figure out ways to earn their keep, and one of the ways that we do it at the Food Web is pie, and in the summer during market season, bacon pies every week. And there was no excuse with everything in the world being available right now. Summer is totally easy pie season. There's no reason for me to be making custard pie with citrus, but I just love that pie.
Oh, no, but with the blueberries, it counts for spring. And yeah, I'm sorry, but blueberries are so good with lemon.
Well, and I had used the week before the very last of the wild blackberries that you picked and braved the bulls in the pasture to get last year.
Really? Because I just happened to have 400 more pounds of those if you want.
I'm
like
wondering if I could have a pound or two.
Yes. I'll bring my truck later.
Blackberry pie, man, oh man, oh man. But I know that those berries that you have are held in abeyance for the Animal Shelter Foundation bake sale in the fall.
Oh, no,
and
we'll pick some for you. You know that. Yeah. No, you'll have plenty of berries.
There are lots of berries right now.
Yeah.
There have been really lovely local raspberries everywhere. And although I'm not crazy about raspberry pie, I'm pretty crazy about raspberries.
I love fresh raspberry pie. I just don't like them that much when they're cooked.
Yeah.
And also when I've made that flag pie with raspberries, people complain about the flavor.
Uh-huh.
So, it's just I don't like them cooked that much. But, boy, I love them fresh. Custard with raspberries.
I hear people complain about the little tiny seeds in the raspberries.
Because there's so many.
Yeah, because I heard the raspberry described on a cooking show. I don't know if you ever watch A New Scandinavian Cooking.
No, I don't even know it exists.
It's on PBS. But anyway, they changed hosts and countries, Scandinavia being rather a broad concept. And it went from Sweden, I think, to now they're in Denmark, and the chef described a raspberry as being a whole cluster. A raspberry is a cluster of tiny stone fruits.
Really?
And I had never thought of it that
Me
way,
either.
But each little globule or whatever you want to call it, the little cell of deliciousness that is stuck to a bunch of other ones and forms a raspberry has a tiny little seed inside.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that they each had a seed, but I never thought of them as a little miniature stone
fruit. A little tiny stone fruit. Anyway, it's hard for me to imagine anything better than just a fresh raspberry on your morning cereal or over your ice cream or just in it by the handful. Although raspberry jam and raspberry syrup
really, really good too. It's just the pie. I think that they get kind of dried out or something. I don't know what it is. And then it's basically just kind of fried pulp and seed. I don't know. It's just not good. Maybe and I'm making that pie essentially open. And so maybe if it had a top crust it'd be better. But no, I just don't like raspberries in a pie that much.
Yep. Well, peaches are I really they're out there now, but I really think for my preference on peaches that there is still a couple weeks to go before they're perfect.
Yeah.
But once they get here, oh, yo, 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 yo.
And it's so interesting, peaches too, the different varieties. Because different varieties taste different. And I like when that is true.
Yep.
So exciting.
And different textures. So in terms of pie making, I like certain kinds better than others. but in terms of just like grabbing a peach and having it.
Yeah, having at it.
I don't really care what color it is or what's, you know.
You make really good peach pie. My peach pie always ends up tasting like baby food.
What?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Do you put almond in with it?
Not always, sometimes.
I like almond with it.
Yeah, peach and almond, very good.
I think I need to practice more with peaches.
I like peach pie also with an almond streusel-y kind of topping as opposed to a top crust. I love double crust pies, but sometimes it's just fun to do something different. And because peaches and almonds are so happy to be together, they're happy to be together. I like that, toasted almonds and some brown sugar and some butter and all that stuff.
When I was at the River People Farmers Market, so the very first day, you know, I saw the sauerkraut and the kimchi at the Islands End Farm, and then Kelly had such beautiful broccolini and just really beautiful stuff, and then Teresa too, just really nice stuff. So I was kind of just doing a circle around the market, and I wasn't like taking my time or anything. It wasn't. And there was a guy. Do you know who he was? The guy that was singing and playing guitar
on the first week.
Yeah,
that was Jackson Andrews. He lives here in Astoria.
Oh my gosh, every song he played, I'm like, well, that's gonna be in my head all day. And then the next time, I'm like, well, that's gonna be in my head all day. It was so funny. He was like playing my own personal playlist. It was so funny. But there was some kind of green, and I'm not gonna remember the name of it, but it was like spinach at Island's End, and it was something that they I don't know if they grew or was wild, but they had this giant basket of bags of it, and I didn't want to just take one and then clutch it to my chest, you know, the whole time and squish it while I was shopping. And so I came back about 20 minutes later, and it was all gone. All of it. It was the most amazing thing.
And sad. I got something from them last week that I had never, ever heard of.
What was it?
We have an herb garden in front of the North Coast Food Web building, and I'm recommending to all of you out there that have deer problems, herb gardens. We have just herbs, onions, and garlic, and the deer walk by and look over the fence and go, yeah, we'll pass.
Wow.
They don't like herbs too much, and they don't like onions and garlic, and so they don't go in there anymore. Anyway, beside the point, what I got from Island's End was a potted licorice mint, Korean licorice mint.
Really?
I had never heard of that before.
Me either.
It's a completely beautiful plant. Apparently, it's going to get some purple flowers on it, but when you crush a leaf or taste a leaf, it is so licorice.
See, I love mint. And I love things that are anisey, like tarragon. And
you got to come by and check this out. And they may have some more this next week. I don't know. I should let everybody know, because we're talking so much about River People Farmers Market, that it is located on the corner of 12th and Exchange in downtown Astoria. And it is open every Thursday from 3 in the afternoon to 7 in the early evening. So local farmers, it's a food and flower only farmers market. It's small and
but not
lovely.
As small as it was. The new space is nice.
Very nice.
You can really move around. There's room for music, you know, for chairs to sit and watch it. It's nice, the new spot.
It is very nice. And there's a lot of produce. There's meat and cheese, and there's some young foragers there now with dried mushrooms and wild blackberries and some other cool things you find in the forest and wetlands. stop by and talk to us, and we'll see what you're cooking. Thanks, Linda, so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk about the whales, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you maybe. We'll see you out there sitting there watching for whales, all of us. I want to remind you that Food Talk is a production of North Coast Food Web, where we work to cultivate healthy communities and a vibrant local economy through food and agriculture. And thanks so much to Coast Community Radio for being a home for Food Talk. Hope to see you at the market, and for Linda Perkins and myself, Marianne Myers, thanks for listening. We are just seconds before 10 o'clock. It's Coast Community Radio in your ear, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming live at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile device using the TuneIn app.